pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And free shipping.
Yeah, and free shipping. We got to make sure no pop-ups come up on that.
Okay. There's one announcement to make from action taken in closed session. The board, by unanimous vote, rejected the following claim. The claimant is Shelley Mangini for Benjamin Mangini, a minor. And that brings us to student representative to the board, who is, I believe this is this your last?
Yes, this is my last.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
bad.
All right.
No. I was trying to sound happy.
That's right.
But, yeah, it is my last meeting with you guys.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll listen intently.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. So starting off, yesterday we had our annual awards night at the auditorium to celebrate some of our best performances and MCAA's brightest stars. Many community members came and presented many scholarship winners, promoting and graduating students who were on the A and B honor roll for the years here were recognized as part of the California Junior Scholarship Federation and the California Scholarship Federation. Then many of our students received trophies for their school and community participation. The performances last night were quite hilarious, with a few musical medleys and improvisation. And then today was our last community meeting, and I, as the school's ASB president, gave my last State of the Union address. That was sad. And then the rest of the community meeting was filled up by speeches from those who were running for student council positions, and then we had a few performances. Tomorrow is the senior class trip to Sunsplash. We'll be driven by parent chaperones and staff, and then we will leave around 9 a.m. in the morning and be back at school by 5 p.m. Thursday is the senior luncheon at the Alan Scott Youth and Community Center. This fall, the drama department is already planning their trip to Ashland, Oregon. Shows that they are planning to see are The Wiz, Twelfth Night, Richard II, A Winter's Tale, Great Expectations, and a Gilbert and Sullivan revival. We will have a yearbook signing party on Tuesday, May 31st. Students who attend will receive the yearbook early as well as receive a special 2016 pen. We will start We will start our final schedule on Friday and will continue on through next Thursday. And then the next Friday is our annual Day on the Green celebration and media fest, where students from the video and photo class present to us a slideshow of their work from throughout the past year. And last but not least, I would like to say thank you to the board members for having me this semester. It has truly been an honor to sit up here with all of you. It's been a very exciting to rush over here to this meeting after work. and it has been fun, and I will definitely miss sitting up here. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, we can't let you leave without acknowledging your time here with the board and myself. So we have a plaque for you, which reads, Michelle Yang, MCAA Student Representative. Thank you for your outstanding service to the Marysville Joint Unified School District Board of Trustees, serving as the student representative for the second semester of the 2015-16 school year. Your willingness to attend the board meetings to update the Board of Trustees on activities at the various school sites is greatly appreciated. And we want to wish you the very best of luck in your future endeavors, and we know that you will be very, very successful at that.
Thank you. I want to thank all of you guys for having me up here.
And it's UC Berkeley, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
That's how Julia went.
Did you like it there? Please help me. Yeah. I'm completely
lost.
Oh, yeah.
We had a great time.
But look what it did to him.
You'll be back.
I guarantee it.
Okay, first of the presentations is Student Services, Jed Nunes.
Thank you. I just want to take the opportunity to thank each of you for allowing me to work here for the last 3 years. I can say that the effort that's put in by the staff, the teachers that I've had the privilege of working alongside to serve our students, I would put up there with any other staff that I've ever been associated with. So thank you for your leadership, because I believe that when you have committed staff like that, it starts from the top down. And so thank you for allowing me to be part of that for the past 3 years. I also just want to say a quick thank you to my co-director, Tony Vernier, and the two office staff, Mariah Oseguera and Freely Donica. It's truly a pleasure to come to work with people that you enjoy working alongside with. So Student Services oversees a lot of different areas within the district, from special ed to health services to 504s and mental health services and a number of other things that kind of fall under our umbrella. Tonight I'd like to take the opportunity to just kind of highlight one of those areas, the health services. The LCAP has allowed us to increase our staffing. When I got here a couple years ago, we had two school nurses. Our staff has grown greatly, largely in part because our student need has grown. We have currently 19 diabetic students that have direct service. We have three students that have other services, catheterization and those types of things. And then we also have four students that we support that have seizure disorders with DISTAT. So all of these students have, within their healthcare plans or their IEPs, a requirement for direct services from our nurses. So just kind of introduce you to the staff as it's been growing. These are our three school nurses, Carmen Dudek and Amanda Deerdorf. Both came on board this year. Cheryl Lowry's been here. I think this is her fourth year. They've just done an excellent job of leading the department. We have health aides. There are five of them. Three of them are LVNs. Two of them are medical assistants. They've been trained. They do a lot of the diabetic care, do an excellent job. We've been able, with an increase of health aid positions, to have them positioned out on campuses, which really help with the mobilization if there's an area of need sometime at a campus that arises. We have them out at campuses so they can, if it's not at the campus they're at, they're close by to be able to help with those needs and monitor those. I think one of the things, we also have health techs. Obviously we have the dental van that is part of our health services, as well as two health techs that do a lot of the clerical work for our department. We have seen an increase in diabetic needs in our district over the last 3 years. In fact, we had three just diagnosed this year, new diabetics. We have to support those students with their diabetic needs often. Some of them, as they get older and they've been able to deal with this a longer period of time, they're able to self-regulate themselves, but we often still have other staff that supports them to make sure they're giving themselves the right amount of insulin or carbs. But we have 19 students at 10 campuses, and one of the greatest challenges for our staff is lunchtimes all are about the same time. So to try and be at 10 different places all at the same time is very difficult. So with the increase in staff, they're able to be at least close by, and they can maybe get to two of those campuses, and we're able to meet the needs of all those students. We also do, like I said, some other areas of direct support to the kids. We also have a lot of paperwork with the monitoring of the health care plans. Our school nurses do hearing and vision screening. I'll give you some stats here in just a second of what that entails. We've really had a focus on trying to support the schools. A lot because of budget cuts and staffing issues, a lot of stuff had kind of fallen on the school secretaries, and we all know how busy their plates are. So as we've been able to increase our staff, we've really focused on a teamwork approach to helping support them, helping them with the ever-changing regulations of immunization laws and EpiPens and different things that have come down in the recent last year or two. So we've really tried to come alongside the school staff and help pick up some of the burden of those areas. We've done staff training for those school staffs, as well as some TB testing and other things. So there's a lot that goes on within the health services area. Some stats from this year. We screened 4,600 students, and over 1,000 of them had referrals to have additional assessments. One of the things that we were able to do this year was buy two new vision screening machines to kind of bring our equipment up to date. And the vision screening not only did farsightedness, but also did nearsightedness. So you would thought that we would have gotten a lot more referrals because we're now testing for two areas, but I think the equipment accuracy has caused us to not get as many false positives. So the two things we've seen is not an increase, which was a good thing, of referrals, and the referrals that we've been sending, we've gotten reports back that we have a lot less false positives. In the years past, we used to send kids because they didn't pass the screening, and they would get over there and they had no need for glasses when they got to the doctor's office. And what we found is a great number of these kids that are being referred actually do need glasses and are able to get them at virtually no cost over at Peachtree Clinic. We screened 4,500 students for hearing and 72, so you can see the vast difference between vision and hearing needs. Only 72 were referred for follow-up in those areas. We have 170 students on healthcare plans, so all of those take extra effort from our nursing staff, making sure that all the staff at the schools are aware of the needs of the students. It can range from a wide variety of allergies to certain foods, to bee stings, to heart conditions, asthma. They're just a multitude of areas that students come in, and we need to make sure that they're supported and that they're safe while they're doing their schoolwork. One of the things that's been a real challenge in our district is keeping the immunization up to date. When I came in, we had had areas of, I think the first year I came in, we had like 53 families that we were working on to try and get them updated immunizations and trying to work with them that they were behind in things. This year we had 7. So just a heightened awareness to that. I think that helps with the attention that we've been able to have with the health aides to stay on those phone calls and stay on the parents. So it was 99.93% of our students were all up to date on all their immunizations, and the only 7 we were working with the families to get them up to date. The dental van served 1,200 students, and again, we always do a survey. 67% reported that if we didn't have the dental van, their child would receive no dental services. So it's a lot of work, but it's also a great reward in serving our students. Some of the things that we're proud of this year that we were able to do, we updated our head lice policy and information brochure to get out to parents, got it translated into Hmong and Spanish so that we can help parents deal with it. We had a real outbreak this year of head lice at a few of our schools. We purchased, as I said, the vision screening machines, really sped up our process of being able to screen the students and give us better results. And we also were able to partner with Peachtree to get the follow-up for students and get them those glasses at, like I said, reduced or almost no cost. And when, like I had said, mentioned earlier as well, that we really focused on the team approach, and I just saw a much better working relationship between the health services department and the school sites. Some of the goals that we've set for ourselves for the future is to continue to provide the quality support to the students as well as staff. We're looking at getting some of our school nurses CPR first aid certified to be able to do first aid training for staff. We've had some increase in regulations as far as EpiPens and glucagon administration, and so we want to be able to provide the training that might be needed for that. Right now it's not mandated, but it looks like it probably will be. So we want to be on top of that. And then just also to increase health education opportunities for parents. There's a lot of misinformation out there for parents. I had one conversation with a parent earlier this year that talked about she didn't want her daughter to catch diabetes. So, you know, just getting them to understand what really goes into some of those things and how to help their students when they're at home as well, when they have diagnosis. So that's kind of the year in the summary. It was a very good year. Again, with that increase in staff, we've just been able to do a much better job of reaching out to the needs of the kids. So I thank you for that. You have any questions?
Have you received many parents that didn't want their children to have any shots whatsoever?
It will be an issue. As of January 1st was a change in the regulations.
Uh-huh.
The thing that happened, though, is that it was grandfathered in. So anybody who was on a waiver before January 1st continued to be on a waiver.
Oh.
So it didn't become an issue. Where it's going to become an issue is they're grandfathered in as long as they're in a certain age group. So if they're in preschool, they're grandfathered in until they go into kindergarten. If they had a waiver and their student was kindergarten through sixth grade, they're grandfathered until that student makes the transition to seventh grade, because at kindergarten and seventh grade is when there's new immunizations that are needed. So that's potential when we have students go, we only had one student in the sixth grade that was on a waiver, so that one family already is aware that that waiver is not going to be up for next year. So they have a choice of doing, you know, the state has said they can go in home studies. That's going to raise some other issues possibly down the road, but right now it doesn't look like it's going to be a big factor for us. We don't have very many on waivers. I think 33 is what I was told.
Okay. Thank you for the knowledge.
There was a case of meningitis down in the Stockton area.
Mm-hmm.
Do our students standard procedure, do they get meningitis shots?
I think meningitis is one of the immunizations. It's I don't remember. It goes, there's one of them that's a multiple one, and I can't remember. The mumps, measles, I don't know, remember if meningitis is actually one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I should maybe know that. But we have had some outbreaks of things. When things like that happen, we report them to the county health department, and there's just a few of them. We had some MRSA issues at one point, and some scabies issues that were, we had to go in and clean rooms and things like that. But again, staff's been really on top of it. We've had no big outbreaks, just some reported cases, and with the custodial staff and the nursing staff, they were really right on top of it and making sure that things were cleaned and safe for kids the next day. So
I would just like to thank you for the last 3 years of your service here, Jed, and good luck in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right.
Good luck.
Okay.
So, Michelle, are you leaving? I guess so. I just also want to say, Michelle, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank
we'll,
you. And
we'll give
luck.
You a round of applause here. Also, you can take your sign, okay?
Here you go.
Oh, it's right there. Yeah.
Michelle, thank you.
There is an immunization for meningitis.
There is?
There is.
There is one.
Yeah.
Now, how about polio? They don't still shoot.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Has there been a case of polio in California?
No idea.
I thought that was one of those diseases they had.
Yeah, because there are so many now that
We don't like to send people to UC Berkeley and then not hear from them again.
Okay, don't forget this.
Okay. Don't forget to write.
Bye-bye.
People are living.
Oh, yeah, and your plants. Okay, kiddo.
Okay. Good evening, board members. I'd just like to say, if I'm any indication, I believe Jed will be back one day, so we'll welcome you with open arms. Obviously, we have a lot of information contained in our quarterly facilities and energy management update. We provide that to you earlier. We're going to try to go through it as expeditiously as possible, but please stop us if there's any questions. Going into the funding, we tried to break it down where you can see where we started the year, what we've expended or encumbered this year, and where we are currently. And so there's about eight different pools, including Prop 39, kind of changes year by year by state funding. With that, I will move on, if you don't have any questions on that, into the facility projects, the one-time general fund projects with Ms. Cynthia Jensen.
Good evening. It's good to be here again to give our quarterly update. Starting with Increment 1 in Lyndhurst, we're in the final stages of completion. We have a couple of punch items that remain, and the photos in the slides are just photos as we progress through the project. This is for F building. These were rooftop mounted. Those were the units. As they were delivered by the manufacturer and placed on the roof with a large crane. And we are negotiating with Carrier and Sigler, who is the manufacturer's representative for our preferred Carrier brand. And so far, they have written in an email that they're willing to provide us with a $21,000 in change credit. For the change in design that they had caused in part. And further negotiations will go on over the next several months and hope increasing that credit that we get back as reimbursement.
Well, good job.
Thank you. Here's what we've expended as of May 13th. It's by category for your reference. Increment 2, we're at 90% in design. We are, I think for the first time in a long time, in this district meeting with the architect and the design team as a group, including some of the staff at M&O has been really helpful to make sure that we get a design that is proper, complete, and one that they are happy to get in the future as projects are complete. And increment two, this is the general scope of that next increment.
Cynthia, if I might, back to increment one, you were saying we're up and running with just a little bit of tweaking that's going on now?
That's correct.
For both C and F?
Correct.
Okay.
So to increment two, the buildings that will be touched mainly for the increment two would be the gym, the locker rooms, and the metal shop building, along with some commissioning and a little bit of tweaking for the E building because the ventilation there in the E-building isn't quite good enough for right now until we could get to the construction portion, which will be in the next increment three. Here's some photos of the metal shop. We did a lot of climbing so we could look in all the different attic spaces and mezzanines and so forth so we could really get a handle on what was currently on site. That's a picture of the metal shop. And increment three, this is what we're proposing for increment three. So a little bit of scope. And it might change an increment to a phase. Increments are when you keep the same DSA number, and you keep that DSA number open. So that's the difference between an increment and a phase. So it's likely that after increment two is over, we're going to shut that DSA number, and it'll become a phase. So it'll be a phase three. Next, moving on to the gas line, we have our low bidder. This is a little bit about scope and the schedule in general. More of the scope, a little bit more detail here in terms of splitting the quad and the canopy. About toward the end of the design process and once we got DSA approval, we decided we wanted to split the two because we could save funds in the DSA inspector classification and also with DSA fees in general. Here's a depiction of the area in question. The work will be enormous and it'll pretty much shut down the Lyndhurst site the entire summer. There will be no gas available on site, which means the heating and air conditioning in the new buildings will not be running just for the summer portion, because the natural gas is what feeds those HVAC units. So we're going to make sure we're safe and we shut the gas off. We're estimating that the gas will go off June 6th. Staff has been notified, and it should go back on about July 12th, is our guess. If the schedule slips at all, for any reason unknown to us, we've scoped it really well. I'm not anticipating anything, but if it does, the two green highlighted sections will be the areas we'll focus on to finish up. And this was Bob's option. We gave him several different options. Should we extend in terms of our schedule, this would be the preferred option. Here's where we're at today in terms of expenditures. Again, the canopy split, because we save fees overall. We get a quicker approval for DSA for the canopy as well, which is another reason why we split it. And our BOGA, this is something I've talked about for quite a few months and over several of our quarterly updates, so I'm going to go ahead and skip past the slide. And the most important new piece of information is the expenditures. Today, we have started expending a little bit of the money on the front end, mostly soft costs. And we have our low bidder, too, at our BOGO is United Building Contractors. We have our pre-construction meeting scheduled, including principals and staff, and so we've gotten started doing the front-end part of those projects. And next on to Travis.
Cynthia, I had one other question on. For the summer at Lyndhurst, there will be no air conditioning in any of the buildings?
The only separate air conditioning that we currently have at Lyndhurst and for this summer will be in the portable buildings. Those are run individually. They have their own thermostat per portable. So that air conditioning can go on in those portable rooms. Plus, the science building itself has its own controls. And so that one should be operational as well.
So the A building would be a no.
Yeah, and I have let Bob know, and Melanie, his secretary, she works all summer long, and we did talk about maybe moving their offices if it does get too uncomfortable, and then diverting people around the side of the campus toward, you know, the portable section or whatever would work best for them. But we would definitely put signs up, and the construction area be fully fenced so that no one can gain access where the heavy construction and demolition is taking place.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good evening. Just a quick part on this one is maintenance and operations has gone ahead and finished up drafting landscape and irrigation drawings for Johnson Park and Oliver's. So we're going to be starting that project hopefully right when school's out. Combining with maintenance and operations staff, we've gone ahead and partnered with a vendor that's going to come out. So hopefully by the time everybody returns back to school at Oliver's, you're going to see new hydro seed placed down there, a completely automated irrigation system, so we can get back to that curb appeal and give our community what they want to see out there. So it's going to look good. There's more to come on that. Like I said, there's a lot of design work that went into this. I know we saved probably about $15,000 by splitting some of these costs with the maintenance and operations and a irrigation specialist. So that's where we're at with that one.
Okay, moving on to school site funded projects, MCA portable. Not much has changed. A few expenditures here. This is the new site plan. Deferred maintenance. The Marysville kitchen project is being funded out of deferred maintenance funds. Again, not so much new right now based on the last presentation, just a few expenditures here. United Building Contractors is our low bidder, $66,000 and change. And back to Travis.
And I'm back. Okay, so this is like one of my favorite things to do is kind of share with you guys some of the projects we've done out there throughout the year. And just to make a note, you know, now over a year I've been able to witness a lot of the work that our crew members have accomplished out there. They've done a lot of work out there and avoided a lot of costs by doing a lot of things in-house. So I just want to kind of put that out there. So here, you know, I'm not going to go through each one. These are just a couple of pictures. I'm going to go through these. Like Cynthia said, if you guys have any questions, stop me and feel free to ask. This was the roof we had talked about, Kovalad. We know that that building, that roof was leaking for years. Yes, this is the cafeteria, MP room, kindergarten over there where the roof has been leaking, to my understanding, for the last 10 years. Nobody was able to fix it. So we're pretty confident at this point that we've put in the last American code on there, that we've addressed all issues. We put new flashing up there. It looks phenomenal over the summertime where you see the white going up the wall in the after. We're going to have that painted to match the school. We just wanted to see if we could get one last good rain to really verify that everything's sealed, but we're pretty confident. It's
forget it, rain.
The next step this summer is you'll see there's a long list of items we're doing this summer. So on there, we're going to go ahead and look at trying to either seal the sheetrock that's in there, replace light fixtures, things like that, that were damaged over the years. So kind of refreshing those classrooms that were water damaged. Over here is the infamous Kovalad underground storage tank that we discovered. As many of you have already been aware, we anticipated that tank to be about 1,500 to 2,000 gallons. Unfortunately, as we went through it, you know, we shined a light down there, and we saw that it was pretty solid. We smacked it with a stick, and we thought we were hitting bottom, but what we were hitting was a solid layer of almost tar. It just crusted over, so as we were draining this tank, we actually found out it was 3,000 gallons. So it's now empty, scrubbed clean. Soil samples have been taken at this point, so we're just waiting for the results to come back. If everything comes back clear, non-detect for any leakage of that tank, then we'll be going ahead and putting a slurry seal in there and getting done with it, signing it off. So, again, district-wide, we're doing a lot of siding replacement. We're doing this all over every single site. We've been identifying tripping hazards. This is exposed aggregate that some of our skilled tradesmen out there completed. It came out phenomenal. Just kind of showing off the skill sets we have on our crews out there. Again, we've got potholes. We're fixing those out there. We've got a BOMAG Vibro roller out there now, so we're hoping to kind of get that out this summer and start doing some test runs out there and start repairing some of these areas versus just patching, as you see. So hopefully we'll see more on slides on doing complete replacements. Dobbins erosion control out there. Again, got to give a shout out to the guys that came up with this. This has been an ongoing issue for years and years. A couple of our crew members out there identified it, took it upon themselves, designed this. A lot of heavy equipment was involved in this, truckloads of rock. I guess this has been, again, an ongoing issue. You can see the mud out there and all the erosion. So that came out phenomenal. We've been having our maintenance techs, HVAC, they've been up crawling in attics, identifying issues such as this that have been not addressed for years. But we're taking care of things, making things happen. This is a current project that kind of got slipped in there. This is a science room. It's a media room at Lyndhurst High School. And you guys will see more on this one. This was kind of thrown at us a curveball. But we really want to provide a good teaching, learning environment for these kids out there. So maintenance kind of took it on, and it's developed. It's one of the, I mean, I got to say, for the skill set these guys have done out here, if you guys have a chance to go out there and look at this, it is absolutely phenomenal.
It really is. I didn't know you were doing that.
Yeah, it was one of those things where we kind of stepped into it. Bob came to us and said, we have X amount of money to try and turn this around. Walked the site. We realized what the kids were using for a media room. And I said, you know what? Let us help. So a couple of our really skilled trades guys out there jumped in. They're building a wall. It's being recarpeted. They've changed lightings out there. There was plumbing because it was a science room with pipes coming out of the ceiling that were rusted, dripping. They've capped off all plumbing because we have a new plumber. So they're really doing a great job out there.
Excellent.
So Marquis, that's doing great out there. Built a new shed over at Lyndhurst for the weld shop. Irrigation, again, we're making sure irrigation control that hasn't been addressed is being taken care of district-wide. You guys are all familiar with the tree work out there. This is the tennis courts here at Berriesville High School. Again, keeping it going. Sorry for some of these pictures. The one on the left there is the pillars out there on the site. Gary was having a problem with people writing on them, and so we went ahead and changed color on that. Again, some more irrigation control. You can see the cost on here.
Excuse me, I hate to interrupt you, but if you did leave your windows down, it's really pouring, and poor Gay just wanted me to give you a heads up.
I was just saying, as we started looking for rain, right?
Travis, how much, like these pictures that you've shown us and the cost maintenance operations are doing it opposed to a contractor, how much do you think How much do these add up to, just the ones that you're showing us?
I could give you an approximate number. Just based on this slideshow, approximately I'd say over $200,000 in cost avoidance. Wow. That does not include every slideshow we've done for quarterly reports.
Right.
I'm hoping at some point we'll kind of put together an approximate number of where we're at.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, not at all. You know, we're really proud in maintenance and operations on some of the things we're doing. The guys have a lot of pride in what they do. So, like I said, this is the time where you see me get excited and share with you some of the things we're seeing out there. Thank you. You know, here's a list of summer 2016 projects, and they're ever-evolving. And like I said, in addition to these, it's always changing as we go along and we discover new things. So, we're just going to keep the forward momentum. We've got some great crew members out there. We've brought on extra staffing, and with this extra staffing, we're able to take on more. So that's what I got. If you guys have any questions.
Yeah, Travis, I got a quick question because I know I'm going to get asked several times next week when I'm up at Foothills graduation. What is the scope of that project going to look like, and when do you think it'll start?
At Foothill, the irrigation up at Foothill? Right now, we're looking at trying to mitigate costs as much as we can. We're looking around the district to see what kind of pumps we can run. We're trying to get the thing fully automated. We've went ahead and tested head pressure from BVID. We don't have enough head pressure to put it on an automated system, so we're going to have to install a pump. Unfortunately, I've heard that they've had to disconnect the pump that was currently out there because it was blowing fuses. So now we get into an electrical infrastructure issue. So I have a pump specialist actually going up this week to try and scope out if we can do a smaller pump. But by the time we're done, that system will be completely automated as well. So, if funding becomes available, what we'd like to see is to aerate and possibly seed. I mean, we're going to bring that field back up to par. Until we get the system and really know what we're capable of doing. But our goal is to go ahead and make it have a green field. We're going to be filling in. You'll see undulations all over that field. Those things will be addressed this summer. So the idea is to have a playable field at some point, which is safe for the students and staff.
You have a couple of your guys in back. Why don't you introduce them to us?
Absolutely. This is Ken Tarr and Matt Hall. These two guys here have made a lot of the work you see on the slideshows. They're just part of some of the, I call them the dream team we've got.
Yeah, you see them around everywhere.
They are exceptional everywhere. And phenomenal workers. I mean, a lot of this stuff couldn't happen without guys like this. So there are a lot of the design that you see out here and the quick thinking on your feet comes from these guys back here.
I just have a comment. I've been on the board 11 years, and when I came on, I remember after the election, was at a public meeting, and somebody stood up and said, now we've elected you to the board, what are you going to do about Lyndhurst? And we have meetings out there once a month at Mary Jane's. I used to hear it all the time. It has turned around. People are really proud of what's going on, and the feeling that I used to get in the, not haranguing, but they're just, have you forgotten Lyndhurst? And it's turned around, and I hear so much. There's pride what's going on there. I hear it from the staff and the community, the meetings we have at Mary Jane's once a month out there. So you guys have done a remarkable job to turn this around, and it's a paradigm shift for the Oliver's community, I can tell you. So thank you for what you've done, and I see your guys out there working very hard, and you have some hard workers. And, again, they brought a great paradigm shift to that area of the district.
Thank you.
Okay, comments from board members. Oh.
Sorry, did you have another? Can I go ahead?
Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. To Prop 39, I'll be quick on this part. Not a lot has changed. We've completed a lot of the work, especially for charter so far. There has been a couple recent items that have been approved or will be approved at the next meeting that will move forward this summer, including a lot of programmable stats on the internet, which allows for maximum flexibility and comfort for teachers and staff. So every portable in the district will get a stat that's completely customizable and programmable. So that's the highlight and the takeaway from the most current piece for Prop 39 district-wide. Just a little bit about what's been done and what's going on. A lot of lighting for Prop 39 as well. Maintenance staff, again, give them a shout out. They saved charters some money by installing the district purchase barred units. That were part of the Prop 39 plan there. Windows. Linda, we have a lot going on this summer. There will be additional lighting that takes place going forward outside of this summer's project. A little bit on the Linda project under Prop 39. what we spent to date so far. More components for Lyndhurst. They'll get a lot of lighting retrofits, again, the economizers, VFDs, and other things that we'll talk about in more detail at a future board meeting. Marysville, same thing. A lot of energy components that will take place there to improve their efficiencies. And then on to energy management database. We've gotten like about 2.5 years worth of data in the database so far. This is a sample of a chart that can be produced from the database. In fact, at the principals' meetings tomorrow, we're going to share the summer shutdown checklist and the first go of data that compares summer 2014 to summer 2015. So they have an idea of what their baseline is and their savings over the two summer periods. You know, we're going to highlight on the peak use, time of day use, spikes, charges that we get because of the time of use. So we'll highlight that tomorrow as well, and that will be an ongoing effort along with summer shutdowns. And here's a sample of the checklist that we're going to distribute tomorrow. And I'll let Ryan take this last slide.
And just for the board's information, we had those study sessions, and we will be bringing a full, complete draft plan for the facilities master plan June 28th meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, well done.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Things are getting done.
Okay, comments from board members? Mr. Denable? Okay, Mr. Crawford?
Just a few things. Our juniors and seniors from Marysville and Lyndhurst High School have had the opportunity in the last few weeks to help some of the political candidates distribute signs and pamphlets and stuff. And I think they get credit. Some of them got social science credit. Also gave them a chance to see what the good ones are going to be and what the bad ones are going to be. Let me tell you that. But they did a good job. They also went down to the Kiwanis Club, the key clubs to help the Gary's kids did, to help the kids bait the hooks and stuff. That was really cool. They got up really early to do that. And that day that, I forgot the name of that roofing company on the gazebo. Three or four of the kids helped pick up all the shingles and stuff, and please express my thanks to them if you see them, okay? That's all.
Okay, Mr. Boom? Mr. Rasmussen? Mr. Fleury?
And we're on the right page with getting music back in the school. It's obvious they really appreciate it in the Oliverhurst area. Also, two weekends ago, I got to go to CSBA for the weekend. It was very interesting. They said it was historic because CSBA is now working with CTA and the AXA group, and they said that's the first time that they have ever had those three groups appear together in front of the General Assembly for CSBA. The bus rodeos this weekend, the state finals, which we've won before, and I'm sure we'll do well again. Monica recently had a retirement, and I realize all 6 out of 7 board members were there, just how hard our principals and our administrators work to make a difference in a school, and they have different skill sets, and each one is, they're good contributing members to our school. And last thing, my above and beyond, I was asked to, preview the program for the preschool. And I really didn't know. I know that they work hard in the preschool. I think Kathy asked me because I've been with the district so long and that I had a preschooler in there. And I was amazed the amount of work they have to do as Kathy went through, I could not believe the amount of work or how they find the time to do all that. And I found out with CSBA, where they're talking about the paperwork, is getting more and more and more all through the state, and they're very concerned about the amount of paperwork that we're asking people to do. And they talked about also the rate of, they're having a hard time finding teachers. They said the retention rate in the United States is about 8%, when it's in other countries it's only 3%, and they really focused on how severe the shortage is going to be for teachers and administrators, and they really, that's a real push on them. They're really concerned.
Mr. Harris? No? Just a comment. We have lots of graduations coming up and events, and let's hope this weather is not an indication of what's going to happen on graduation night. Okay. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Free hugs.
Lower stress. Let me get this open. Teacher shortage. Good segue. And we need to attract and retain, and I'm pretty sure most of us in the room know about this, but I just wanted to point out some numbers. The national average class size is 24-1. And, I'm sorry, ours is 24-1. The national average is 16-1. And that's a visual to show you what the difference looks like. If California were to get to that average of 16-1, we'd have to hire 135,000 teachers in the state. We need 106,000 just to maintain the current student-to-teacher ratio. A lot of people are retiring. Credentials issued in 2008, there were 44,694 by the CTC. In 2013, it was down to 11,500. And the ones who do stay tend not to stay in the high poverty schools. Polls are showing that public school teachers today are disillusioned about their jobs, more so than they have been in many years. There were statistics on this about the percent of happiness and stuff, but teachers are taking a political hit. It's our fault that the economy died, apparently. Everything is our fault. And so people who can get out are getting out. Some of the reasons are the erosion of tenure. I'm sure you've seen some of that stuff going on nationwide in the courts. It's no longer viewed as a secure occupation because of all the layoffs that we've been suffering through. It's low pay for the amount of education you need to be a teacher. You can certainly get paid more in a different job with that amount of education. Heavy caseloads, class sizes, the environment of test and punish, and that's testing our kids and punishing our kids over and over again, and then feeling punished ourselves because the kids didn't make the score. Not having enough classroom resources, and teaching requirements that allow no flexibility and too little authentic instructional time. The number one reason why teachers leave within the first 5 years, new teachers, is classroom management issues. This wonderful lady won $1 million in a prize for being such a great teacher. She was on CNN talking about how she did that, what she does. And her advice, if you're a creative, smart young person, is
don't go into teaching. These are some of the things that districts around the nation are doing. Some of them are things that we're doing here, giving signing bonuses, retention bonuses, tuition reimbursement programs, competitive salaries, giving forgivable loans in a four-year program. This is something that's happening in Arkansas, if you want to look it up, but it's loans in a four-year program for teacher education students willing to teach math, science, special education, or foreign languages. Compressing salary schedules so that people make it to a higher rate of pay before their 40th year. Providing affordable health benefits. Providing quality mentoring support for new teachers that'll help with that classroom management stuff and all those scary things for new teachers, make them go away. Offering meaningful professional development and maintaining low class sizes. I am not suggesting we strike. I'm suggesting that you do. Right now, with the health insurance premiums going up as horrifically as they did, strike across the river while their superintendent's going out, I'm just imagining who's going to take that job.
Doreen O'Simmons.
Well, yeah. First week of school and everybody's on strike. And they went on strike before the health benefit information came out, or they had that vote. It's an ugly time, and teachers, potential teachers, are looking for a place to go, and I would suggest that we make this place attractive. This was an added-on slide because I had made this presentation. As you know, when I had my other shirt, my angry shirt, I had already done the teacher shortage presentation, but this is the new information. I don't have all the plans on there right now because back in 9, 10, 10, 11, and 11, 12, we didn't have the wellness option. We didn't have all the options that are there now. We have different plans, but this is for comparison. That's the amount of money that comes out of a teacher's paycheck every month to go toward health after the money has been, that's how much it is without the portion that the district provides. So the district right now provides $757 a month toward health. And in 2009-10, for the what they call the Cadillac plan, the teacher had to pay $496. The next year, $685. The next year, $738. Skip some years to now, $1,400 practically, one more dollar. And I know you're not in control of it. And I know that people are going to say, board members got a raise. Some of the plans went up 17% for next year. Some of your employees don't make enough money to pay that and get a paycheck. I've talked with Anthem about this on Friday. They were talking about how difficult it is sometimes to get Fremont Rideout and Sutter North to sign contracts with them. I suggested that they stop signing contracts with them, because Fremont Rideout and Sutter North need to have some pressure put on them to make them bring down those prices. Because you can have one doctor's appointment at Sutter North for the same price as six doctor's appointments in Sacramento. this is ridiculous. That 1,400, add another 757 to that, that's how much per month is being paid for somebody to have insurance. This last year I got, was that just last year? I passed out, got a ride in the ambulance, had surgery. I have lovely medications that keep me going. And I would get a bill. I'm on the plan 8 there. Or maybe 6. I don't remember. But I end up just bill me. And then I pay a monthly $200 for me and $200 for Michael and just automatically do that until they start sending $200 checks back, which they did on my birthday, two of them. It was awesome. But $200 a month is way better than a couple thousand. So I don't really know what the answer is. I'm hoping that we can work together on it and figure out what to do. And I would really appreciate some support in putting pressure on Fremont Rideout and Center North. I know that the Feather River Service Center, which is a regional CTA group, it has all the districts in Yuba County, Sutter County, Colusa County, and I think Grass Valley goes there too. Anyway, and they're interested in doing something because they're all affected the same way. And even bigger than all of that, for all those people who vote for you, their families have to pay for this cost too. A lot of our kids miss school because they have doctor's appointments in Sacramento. And probably it's because it's too expensive here. So it'd be nice if I could get some help. Do you have any questions for me?
Have you thought about giving this or making an appointment to speak before the State Budget Committee? Because, you know, we're all under the same restrictions in those ways. I think it seems to me that the California legislature doesn't seem to be very caring about those kinds of expenses going on in the state. Just wondered, Jim and I a few years back had a chance to actually speak to them in front of the budget committee, but I think that would be a great idea to do that.
Would you guys like to do that? I think that would be awesome.
Pardon?
It would be great if you did that. I think it would be great if you did that.
I don't know how we got the invitation. I think we got it through the county when we went down there. But
I'm doing a lot. I'm doing a lot.
And it's not just you or...
I know.
You know, we understand that. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, I do have an answer to an earlier question. And I wanted to point out on... I just heard tonight that special ed is going to have a shortage of 16 teachers, which is like a minimum of 450 students without teachers or qualified teachers. And then... meningitis is not a required vaccine. When you enter kindergarten, you have to have diphtheria, measles, hepatitis B, and chickenpox. In middle school, you do kind of a booster of that and an additional mumps and rubella. And meningitis is something that they recommend for preteens. Thanks.
I have a question. You said some of our employees, are you referring to teachers, they cannot afford this?
Some of your employees who wouldn't even get a paycheck because of it, I don't think include teachers.
My question is, are we talking about teachers here or
everybody.
Other employees?
This is the amount in our contract that we're paying. The numbers I showed you were teachers.
Well, I'm just curious to know, are you negotiating for the other employees of our district and just not the teachers?
I'm not negotiating right now.
Well, you're telling us that our teachers,
Mr.
I guess?
Mr. Danable, I think we need to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, operating engineers, local union, three. California School Employees Association. 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Unit. I have no public comment cards, and that brings us to the superintendent's report. Is it raining outside?
It's pouring outside. It's a monsoon, I will tell you that much. And a little bit inside my car, too. Couple of reminders for the board. On Friday, Olive First Elementary School will be hosting their annual Morning in the Garden, along with Ella Elementary School will be opening their time capsule, and I believe that's at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. Every now and then, we receive a commendation that I think bears repeating in this forum, and this is for our child nutrition program, and it is from the School Nutrition Program Review, and I'd like to read it. It's commendations. It says, Amber Watson and her nutrition services staff are to be commended for running an excellent school nutrition program serving breakfast, lunch, and fresh fruit and vegetable programs to the students of the Marysville Joint Unified School District. All program areas reviewed were in compliance and met or exceeded USDA standards. Congratulations on a job well done. They went and reviewed Marysville High School, Linda Elementary, Lyndhurst High School, and Yuba Gardens Intermediate. So congratulations to you and your staff.
Congratulations.
And I just received notice from Mr. Preston that our Boca Elementary School just received the notice that they are once again, because they received it in 2014, the 2015 honor roll for the National Campaign of Business and Education Leaders. They're one of 1,714 public schools in California to receive this prestigious award, and it is for bringing up their scores and for helping students who are academically challenged. And so kudos to our Boca Elementary School for receiving that distinction. And I don't know about you, but I can't believe next week are graduations and promotions. So it's exciting times. The school year is almost over. Hard to believe. Pretty soon I'll be saying, can you believe school's just getting ready to start? It'll be here before you know it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Approval of minutes.
Move to approve.
Okay. Mr. Crawford moves to approve. Seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? None. Okay, that brings us to the consent agenda. Would anybody like anything pulled from the consent agenda? If not, then the board will entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve the consent.
A motion made by Mr. Boom.
Second.
Mr. Danable seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? None. Okay. And that brings us to new business. Facilities and Energy Management Department, bid award Lyndhurst Shade Canopy Project number, I think it's 8173, or yes. B173.
It's eight.
Okay. Any discussion? It's the $64,000 question. Okay. Mr. Harris moves to approve.
I'll second that.
Mr. Crawford seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? None. Unanimous. Business services number one. We're going to hold a public hearing. Consider it opened. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board hold a public hearing regarding the amendments to board policy 3311 on bids. Would you like to make some comments there, the changes?
Well, the board passed a resolution last month opening up the CUPCA, the acronym known for the Cost Accounting Act, that allows us to perform certain procedures that raises our bid, our general bid limit to $45,000, as well as creating an informal bid procedure for vendors that qualify and respond to a list that is held in the purchasing department. This board policy will align our current bid policies to incorporate that act.
I want you to know that that article on leaseback that you put in the packet was very informative. Okay, anybody else on the okay, is there a motion to close the public hearing? Mr. Harris moves to close the public hearing. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? None. Unanimous. Now, a motion to approve the amendment. Is there a motion?
Yeah, motion to approve.
Okay, Mr. Boone moves to approve, and Mr. Crawford seconds. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay, unanimous. I know we'd all love to stay